This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, welcome to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, I've got me a brand new hour sponsor, Southwest Point of Sale.
Tell me more.
Well, if you owned a liquor store, retail store, or a grocery store, and you wanted to move up into the 20th century, then you need to get with Southwest Point of Sale. Over 150 years experience, point of sale systems. Now, I know Brittany's over there going, what is he talking about? But if you call 800-540-2149, talk to Jeff, Mark, Beth, Ted, Tony, or Ramon, they'll hook you up. It's from National Cash Register. It's a solutions and reflections point of sale. Hey, NCR self-checkout for grocery stores. Labor costs are skyrocketing, and self-checkout is the solution. Look at Walmart, Home Depot, and Costco. They're doing it. So imagine how you can make more money and keep more profits and take care of the employees in your building. Go to Southwest Point of Sale. You can call Jeff at 800-540-2149 or go to facebook.com/Southwest Point. And Bumper Doc Santee, scratches, dings, and dents. Nobody takes better care of you than Bumper Doc. And they could be found at SanteeBumperDoc.com. And Black Forest Motorsports for all you BMW, Mini Cooper, and Porsche owners. Dealership alternative, 40 years experience. Go to BlackForestAutomotive.com. Well, it's only taken us how many years to get Dirt Dude in the building?
Yeah, we've heard his voice for years. We get to see his face and his mohawk in person. Yeah. Today.
And I just wanted to squelch any rumors. Dirt Dude is still announcing at Barona, and I only just want to bring that up. But I want to know, where in the heck did the word Dirt Dude
come
from?
It can't be on his birth certificate.
And he asked his lovely wife with him as
Kathy's
well.
Kathy's here.
So she's going to poke him periodically when he gets out of line.
Is this thing on? Mic working? Check. Good?
All right. So do your thing. You're at the track. No, I'm only
welcome, there. Race fans. How's everybody doing?
So where did you get that moniker of Dirt Dude?
It's because I call people Dude a lot, I guess. And it's just like always being in the dirt Dude. And it's just one of those things that kind of stuck with me. And
did you give it to yourself or did someone give it to you?
It's kind of like on the play.
The wife's over here pointing. Yeah.
Well, you know, everyone was calling like Danny Laskowski the Dude. And I was like, oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
And then I threw Dirt Dude in there too. And then after a while, I just, you know, stuck. Everyone calls me Dirt Dude. So
here's even a better question. How did you get into announcing?
Did
you go to school?
No. I actually had a friend, had a track. Bob Lee was starting Temecula Speedway.
I know Bob Lee.
Yeah. Before he passed, everything, you know, he's been a great character
and
for
me.
And
it's that little track to the west of the 15.
It used to be there. It is now a water storage park.
Well, that's because that guy that sat up on top of the hill.
Yeah, because it was a soccer field. And that's where they did tractor pulls.
Yeah.
They did bull riding. It was a little small arena. And he was like, okay, well, they moved K-Rail in there and everything. We're like, this is going to be a track. We're going to build a track here because everyone's going to Barona Speedway. And it kind of like had a falling out.
Yeah.
And then dwarf cars were splitting up because at the time there was like three different dwarf car divisions. Was COD was one of them. Mm-hmm. And then SCCRA or something like that. There's a couple of different dwarf car divisions. So they're like, okay, we're going to go pull our stuff and we're going to go start this here. So they actually threw me in as like, hey, can you be a pit announcer? I'm like, okay. Because they already had the announcer. And like every time someone car was over, as soon as they were getting them rolled over, I'm like, all right, don't cuss.
Don't cuss,
but I want you to let everyone. This is what I still tell everyone now. If I run up to your car, I don't really want to know what happened. I just want to let everyone in the stands know that you are okay.
Yeah.
The biggest thing. First and foremost.
Like,
I had problems with, trying to blank on the name, Phil Confer.
Yeah.
rolled his car, had a bad crash, and his mom was like freaking out in the stands. Like she was like melting down.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you know, your family's up there. They're worried about you. Just let them know you're okay. Right. He could barely remember his name because he got dinged so hard. Oh, yeah. He's like, that alarm keeps on going off in my head.
I guess it's time to get up.
Someone answer that door. I keep hearing the doorbell. And it's just, you know, one of those things. But I just always want to make sure, you know, sponsorship. Yeah. Make sure you get your sponsorship out there. And make sure you let everyone know you're okay after
that. Those are two good ones.
Yeah. So when you first started announcing up in Temecula, did you get the bug? Did it automatically bite you that you couldn't wait to do it again?
Before, I've been racing my whole life. I mean,
well, I'm not talking about racing. I'm talking about announcing.
I mean, I've been into the motorsports thing my whole life. Like I said, my dad had a sprint car. I remember going like Ascot, Speedway 117, Manzanita, Santa Maria. We would do trips out of town to go to Santa Maria a lot. Sure. And then once in a while, we'd go to Manzanita, which is no longer there anymore in Arizona. Ascot was a regular. We'd go to Ascot all the time. And then 117, he would throw asphalt tires on his sprint car, and we'd go down to Cajon Speedway sometimes.
Wow.
But I've never been a fan of asphalt. It's always been the dirt. Yeah. And for a while, I've always followed sprint cars. Being a kid in high school and everything like that. And then I had a Class 7 truck for a while in off-road and loved that. I still love off-road, you don't have the dollar sponsorship behind you. Off-road is one of the most highest inputs with very little return.
For the bang for the buck.
Yes. You could win a race at, say, a score or something like that, and you might get your entry fee back, maybe double that.
If you're lucky.
You're lucky. But if you have sponsors and everything like that, then it's all their dime on it.
And they pay you.
Yeah.
But getting that gig, that's uphill.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's 10,000 drivers out there, boys and girls.
Unless you stand out in the crowd, you know. Exactly. You have to be an amazing driver to be.
Well, that's what I'm telling our guest, David. He's thinking, he's 23, wants to get into radio and maybe, you know, all these different things. And I said, you got to come up with a different widget. It's got to be different than the next guy or girl, because how many people are doing YouTube cars? Mm. You'll love it. So I pull up. I was telling David, I pull up to a stoplight, and I look next to me, and there's a Heartland fire truck. I went, ooh, that'd be a great segment on Cruising with Dave Stahl. So I go to breakfast with the fire chief of Viejas. They're getting a brand new fire truck. The tribe is spending $750,000 for a top-of-the-line, all-computer-controlled. So we're going to do a cruising video. Who does a cruising video on a fire truck?
And Dave does.
That's right.
And funny thing, that's probably not the top-of-the-line. That's probably mediocre middle line because the company I work for, $750,000 is just a baseline truck for us, too, for our cleaning trucks.
Yeah, yeah. See, I would do a segment on your cleaning truck.
It's just like one of those things.
And you know what?
It's the market anymore
for everything. Because nobody knows anything about your cleaning truck. And there's a group in town that, and I'll let you know when it comes out, and it's with little kids, and it's called Hands on Trucks, Hands on the Truck, where they bring all these different big trucks down to, used to do it at Qualcomm, and bring all these little kids come in, and they crawl all over them like ants. Because you never know. Because you know what? When you were little, didn't you like a fire truck?
My dad actually worked in a couple of places like feed mills. So we had trucks. Yeah. We always, and then actually someone the other day was talking to me about, like, why do you have so much a background on mechanical stuff? I'm like, I grew up around mechanics.
Yeah.
I had a stepdad. I had a dad that were all mechanics. And I said, when I was growing up, I grew up in wrecking yards.
Me too.
We were, we'd go through like every wreck car on the wrecking yard just
didn't
looking
you love
for
it?
Stuff.
Oh, didn't you love
nowadays, you're not even allowed in a wrecking yard. You can't get past the desk or anything like that. I remember going back there, and you're like crawling through these cars, and the stacks are all rickety. And you're like, someone's going to die out here, and it ain't going to be me.
Yeah, I still go down. I pay my $2 or $3 at Ecology.
One of the few places, you still go
and
out there.
I just have a blast, and that's where I find all the parts for all my cars. Yeah. All right, we got to take a quick break. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You are listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
You were going to have it on you the Corona ahead. Segment.
Hit it, girl.
The answer.
The segment is brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. They support Barona Speedway like nobody's business. And Paul Dyke won the last time out.
Yes, he did.
He said he was going to win every race. Got third the first race, first the second race. And I got a sneaky feeling he's going to do it again. So if you're looking for a new Ford, used Ford, or even a great quality used car, because 80% of their used cars come from the general public, not the auction. In fact, they send cars to the auction. They don't get them from the auction. El Cajon Ford. All right, so we've got Dirt Dude in the house. We're going to try to talk Dirt Dude into doing some input. He usually does it from home when he's working on his toolbox trays.
He's working on, are we allowed
well,
to
he's all
it?
Done with that.
Is it a secret?
Well, yeah, but I don't think he's going to know. He's
okay.
Not going to know for
he's
a couple weeks.
He's working on his RC cars.
You have RC cars? You and RC?
I got five RC cars right now, and well, they're gas powered, and I'm finding out everyone's getting out of gas, but I'm into gas.
What are they getting into? Electric?
Electric. Everyone's doing batteries, and
gosh.
I hate batteries because it's like you get 15 minutes to play, and then your car starts
I
to die, and then
your
it's like
house down. By the way,
yeah, the
no,
lipo
really.
Batteries and all that stuff.
Yeah, but see, I got an electric, took it out, and the dog jumped on it and ate it. So I don't, and I love RCs. Do you have a track?
No. I got a couple of like big off-road monster trucks, Traxxas monster trucks, and so I just picked one up. And our son-in-law is coming back from Japan, been
this
stationed there for a year
a
and a half.
Surprise, Dirt Dude.
Well, he's not going to know till okay. By the time he gets.
He's on a ship over.
Okay, so he can't hear unless he's listening online, which a lot of people
podcast.
Do.
Podcast.
So
if I add this clip in, he might catch it. But
so do you add? Is it you have a Gravedigger truck?
Oh, no, I like normal body style trucks.
Okay,
nothing outrageous, crazy, but I just picked one up and I'm going all the way through it. It's a total, like, what do you call it, frame off restoration. I strip that thing all the way
like
down
I'm
to
doing
nothing.
With my race car.
Yes.
Right. He's doing with his RC car.
So, yeah, I've got three of them. We're going to be
How
going to the
How come you
the
don't have a track in your backyard?
Because it's grass.
Dig it up.
I'm just getting ready because when we're going to go to the desert here. And
oh, you'll
that's
take
a perfect,
it to the desert?
Yeah, a perfect place.
Okay. All right. So, hey, Barona Speedway last weekend, we didn't get anybody to call in.
I had tried to arrange something with
I know,
the new announcer that's going to be helping us, or the new announcer that at the track, and I was surprised he didn't call in. And then this weekend, if you guys know, the swap meet was there.
Oh,
I missed it because I had to do a segment at the Auto Museum.
Everyone said it went really good. And then
did you go?
So,
no, I sold my... So I had planned on going. I've been
and sell
pulling
your scales.
Things. I've been exactly. I had a bunch of stuff, and I sold them the night before. Yeah. So I called my dad. I'm all save yourself the trip. I sold my big ticket, my scales, and a couple other things Friday night. So I saved myself the trip. I heard there were a lot of vendors. Not as many shoppers, but overall it was really good for the first one, and they might even do it again.
Overall,
this
they said it was good. It was really good. I talked to. Mark Rose.
Yeah.
So and he was like, I said, how'd it go? He said, it went good. I'm like, so is it going to be like the same thing every year? We're going to try and do a swap meet? And he's like, well, Brent's talking about trying to do another one maybe at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what
so
I
So what we
too.
Need to do is let me know ahead of time, come to KUSI
yes.
and promote it.
That's what I was thinking. I think the promotion, if you do KUSI,
yeah.
and then you have your 12 to 1 o'clock, your... What's your segment?
What are you wiggling?
What is your segment at 12?
Oh, Yak Radio.
She must be Italian because she talks about
the off-road.
Too.
The off-road.
Off-road Coalition. Have them talk about it because it was an off-road and race cars.
Yeah. And
so
someone else is
just...
doing an off-road swap meet in San Marcos too, another race shop, and because Mark Rose is in that one too.
Well, see, they need to let us know, and
yeah.
I'm happy.
But with their ideas, they're hoping that they can turn us into like the big three. Would be the nice thing.
Well. From a location point of view, you're right.
That's the hardest thing is our location.
Well, it's getting to your location. It's not that you don't have the property. It's just getting to your location.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that really kind of, I mean, that track being in where it's at, no one can really mess with us there. Yeah.
But
like,
where,
we
else,
have like,
where else would you do
we
a
write
big
our
three?
Law
yeah.
up there.
But where else would you do a big three? There's nothing left in San Diego
Nothing that has that parking advantage, that big of a space.
Right.
Because the last place was Qualcomm, and that's gone.
It's gone.
And then, so then if you do another sporting venue, but I mean, still like a sports arena.
But you can't do that because the swap meet.
Swap meet's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the swap meet.
But swap meet only takes up half that parking lot. But when they revamp that whole place and they take out all those parking lots to put in all the new housing developments and shopping centers.
And then the only thing you got left, what's that? You're into music, the concerts down in National City, Chula Vista.
Oh, yeah, down in Chula Vista.
What is it called?
Is it a mattress thing now?
I don't know what it is.
It used to be Coors Amphitheater.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a mattress,
train. But that's the only thing left that I'm aware of as far as a big, huge...
And that's not even that big.
You have to start doing like high school stuff like that. Yeah. Find a high school, you can actually park there.
I actually think Barona's fine because the clientele, the clientele's more East County. The clientele doesn't mind, it's not like a bunch of city
folks. People came all the
way
from Arizona for Big Three. Yeah. They came from Nevada for the Big Three. It was like Hershey's of the West, but on a smaller scale.
So can we get back to my track now that we're veered off into the whole thing and we have very little time left?
Okay. I had one more swap meet
just
thing.
Just be quiet.
I had one more swap meet thing.
No, I wanted to know how everyone went this weekend because Kelly Weitzel was at Kokopah. I think she got four.
Bryson won. Brian Brown.
Fourth.
With a broken
front end.
And it was the right side, too, which is pretty important when you're making circles. It was broken like
the side you lean on? Yeah.
Yeah.
The shock was like 90. And broken A arm, upper or lower? Broken, I think, upper A arm bent shock.
So the right wheel was just having its own mind.
Still wheeled that thing home for a fourth place.
Yeah.
And that guy was checking out in front because I got to see the live video. My friend Mike was there. Mike was there with the modified, but our buddy there, our favorite fan from Barona Speedway, Mike Charlton, and he was doing it live. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that guy's checking out in front. And they're like, yeah, that's an 8-second lead he's got on everyone. That's a 9-second lead. He's went through half the field already, lapped them down. And Brian still held on with that. And I was just amazed that I'm like, why is he just can't get that car to work? And then I read his thing this morning. His report was like, broken front end, still got fourth. Mike thing was there. I think I don't know where he finished, and then go to Paris. Paris ran last night. Sprint cars, love sprint cars. One of my favorite. Shane Sexton was there. I didn't get to hear how he did last night. David Hunt was out at Kokopah.
Oh yeah, he got fourth.
Got fourth.
I think.
So I think good night for everyone that finished like in the fourth genre. Yeah.
Guess who's in studio next week?
Who?
Brian Brown.
You finally talked him into it?
Yes, he's
not at the river. He's not doing something else.
This weekend, he's doing both, racing and river.
He took his boat and his car to Kokopah.
You're kidding.
He was keeping his boys happy.
I think he left the car in the parking lot and then took the boat, and he's going to come back and pick it up. Because he already posted, launching the boat this morning in the river.
He's all, I'm kind of busy this coming weekend, but I can make time for you next weekend.
Well, that's good he's coming next weekend because we've been trying to get him in forever.
So, may I, Dirt Dude?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So this was a surprise to me, but I'm glad the announcer's here so he can say the last name. Eric. Eric Ponies wins all the time. He's won 10 times in this car. Eric, you know he
Milcheski.
Wins
all the time. Milcheski.
Yeah, Milcheski. Eric, he wins all the time. If Dennis Taylor doesn't win, Eric wins.
Really?
Yesterday.
What's he drive?
The 88, I think. Is it the 88?
That's the one that's for sale.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing.
Is it a dwarf
car? It's for sale. It's for sale.
Pony.
Oh, that pony stock. Yeah. It wants $6,000 for it.
Yes.
It's top of line, too.
For the spectators out there, anyone who wants to get into racing or wants to move
up to a faster
car. I had to
delete that
post. What?
I had to delete it.
What?
$6,000.
Too high?
Not a lot of money for a full-blown, top-of-the-line race car.
So I asked him. Point blank, did you sell it to make time for your dwarf car? Because I know he has a dwarf car.
He has a dwarf car.
And what did he say? Brendan, can I have a drum roll?
Give me like 2 seconds here. Here we go.
Didn't cue that
one. Oh, that's me. Sorry. You want the actual one.
Okay. He's going to start racing a dwarf car.
He already said that on his post.
And nobody was surprised.
He actually is. That's a step closer. He's probably tired of me harassing him.
I looked at that and I went, ooh.
Yeah. So,
and then our next guest coming, Wally Pankrist, won at Paris Auto Speedway in a sprint car at 75.
Well, age is just a number.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That's cool. Hey, but Eric's car's for sale. And he said that his engine was built by Gary at GRC. Yeah. So, like, it's a good vehicle. So anyone who's looking to get in, $6,000, seriously?
That's really
to
cheap.
Get into racing?
Yeah, and turnkey.
Yeah, I'm not sure what else. That probably has some spares with it or parts with it, too.
Really? So do you have spares with a race car? Why would you have spares with a race car?
Something that's usually left over. It might be usable. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows if it's wadded up or not. But no, I seen that online.
I was surprised.
Dang.
Because he's got to be having fun in it.
Yeah, he's been in that thing for a long time. Yeah. He actually kind of started out in that and then did very well.
He threw his daughter in there, too.
Yeah, and then, well, his brother. He has his brother that was racing too.
Yeah, he's racing too.
Yeah.
But a different vehicle.
It's going to be one of those things everyone's going to have to pick their class. Like I said, the Sport Compact now is like the best place to really get in.
I think that's the best bang for your buck by far.
That one needs to be promoted. That's a good start.
Well, I mean, that's basically, you can go at any wrecking yard or any tow yard, pick one up. Either a lien sale or something like that, because you're not worried about it. You're not going to smog it or anything like that.
No.
Knock all the glass out, put a cage in it, safety equipment.
Racing seat.
And you go racing.
Yeah.
A plastic bottle for the gas can with a hose and a bungee cord.
Well, it could be worse than demolition derby. That's what they do in demolition derby.
First time I did a demo derby, nobody told me to take the fan off the front of the motor. First car I hit, whoop, whoop, right through the radiator. Perfect.
Oh, boy.
And I still drove it till it threw up. Cadillac 54. Not a scratch on it.
Going into the race.
Yep. Didn't have a scratch. I put a battery in it and drove the you know what out of it.
Yeah, when you see these pro guys that do demolition derbies, they're like, yeah, I've rerouted. There's like a radiator in the back seat. Mm-hmm. And then
they make a lot of money. Because back in the day when I was a kid, these guys would roll up with a car transporter with six demo cars, all black, all the same model car, and they just scooped up all the money and loaded back up on the trailer and went away. Hey, we got to take a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk to a world-famous man in the motorsport community. We cannot wait. And it's Wally Pankrist. And if you know the name, he was at Paris Auto Speedway last night, and he made us old guys feel really good. This is FM 96.1. You can do it together.
That's what I said.
AM 1170.
The answer.
Now, when I was a little boy, at the age of 5, I had something in my pocket. Keep a lot of folks alive. Now I'm a man, May 21, you know, baby.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170,
The answer.
Yeah, I got a team.
Do it in stereo now.
Yeah, now we're doing it in stereo. All right, this segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Fast little track up there. Go to parisautospeedway.com. They had a race last night. They're located at 18700 Lake Paris Road. Also, John's Automotive Import Repair, 7447 University Avenue in La Mesa. Go to John's Automotive Repair for all your automotive needs. Wally Pankrist, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing real good. How are you?
Hey, I've got a new sponsor for you.
Oh, who's that?
AARP.
Stop. Yeah, well.
Wouldn't that be a good one?
Yeah, or it depends.
I love it.
He went right there.
I got to tell you, buddy, when I heard that Scott had you lined up to call
Woo-hoo!
In, because you have been, I mean, I've been a fan of yours for more years than I care to admit. I mean, I've never had the ability to race. You did. And so I sort of raced through you. And to be 75 and win last night, that's just huge, huge accolades for us folks with the blue hair.
Well, if anything, I've always been determined, and if you're determined, you can make stuff happen.
Yeah.
But like the last five laps of that race last night, I was so tired. I was kind of missing my entry, getting into the corners,
uh-huh.
I figured that they were going to get by me, but apparently I was lucky because Tyler and Heizikian and Ed Schwarz were fighting with each other, which, you know, makes them as ineffective chasing. So that was probably in my corner.
Well, and they were probably just as tired as you were.
Well, I don't know. They're, you know, 50 or something.
They're
like
so young.
That.
Yeah, just little young whippersnappers. So how,
yeah, I mean,
how many years?
25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot.
How many years have you been racing?
Since 1970.
Okay.
So,
and what got you into racing? I think, wasn't it family?
My dad.
Yeah.
My dad and my uncle. My uncle was named Wally Pankratz, and
right.
he was a race driver before World War II, and actually so was my father, but Uncle Wally was the youngest of the bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Wally Pankratz won the first CRA race, which was last night, was a CRA USAC race that Damian Gardner won. And so, you know, just it's like being in the circus, being in auto racing, and the family kind of gets snagged into it just by, you know, just looking at it looks like it's going to be fun, and then unfortunately it is fun, and you know, somebody like me that wants to keep doing it, you know, people, my friends think I'm nuts, but I'm still having fun, so...
Well, and that's the key. If you're having fun, age really doesn't have a bearing on it. Yeah, you're tired today, I'm sure, and you've got aches and pains. But
well, I'm sore. Yeah,
yeah, you're going to be sore. I mean, my gosh. I mean, you're in a, what were you in, a 360 or a 410?
No, it's a 360.
Yeah, that's stupid fast.
Well, I mean, they, you know, they don't make 900 horsepower. I think Ray's 360 was dynoed at 810.
Oh, excuse me.
That's
we're
all.
Almost 100 horsepower off. Yeah. So, have you always raced dirt?
Oh, no. No. Well, I mean,
so.
I started in dirt, but, you know, if anything made a reputation for me, it was super modifieds, which are pavement cars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like at El Cajon or Gillespie Field and Mesa Marin and places
right.
like that.
Right.
Copper Classic back in Arizona.
Right, the Copper Classic. And, you know, so, you know, I got a ride in a rear engine super, or actually at the point it was a rear engine sprint car, and we'd run it at Speedway 605, and then we would put wings on it and it would become a super modified, and just like sprint cars back in the day.
Mm.
And I was successful in those, and that opened up the door, you know, for me to get better equipment to drive in the dirt. And, you know, I ran at Ascot, and, you know, I was lucky enough to be a driver for J.C. J.C. Agajanian, which is kind of neat. And, you know, but so to answer your question, no, I, you know, did pavement, did dirt, did super modifieds, midgets, sprint cars, a couple stock car races, but... You know, I don't want to offend anybody, but stock cars aren't as much fun.
No, I'm not offended.
You're not going to offend anyone.
No, you're not going to offend anybody in this room,
like
I'll tell
honesty.
You. So I got to tell you my J.C. Agajanian story, because I used to co-announce out of Cajon Speedway, and I have a really nice Cajon Speedway jacket. So every time I go to Paris when J.C. Agajanian's holding his event up there, I'd wear the jacket, hunt him down,
yeah.
point at my jacket and say, don't let this happen again. And I
yeah.
did it. And that's how he knows me, because I will hunt him down.
You're the creeper?
Yeah, I'm the creeper. Because
that guy. That
you,
guy.
Well, I am, because once we lose one track,
yeah.
it never, ever comes back. Am I right?
Well, obviously, yeah. I mean, once the track goes away, then the folks that don't like the noise,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm, you know, that's one reason I was kind of, you know, scared a little bit in a sense for Paris and Ventura Raceway, because, you know, it's been a year since those folks have really heard noises
right.
on Saturday night, and all of a sudden it's going to go, hey, wait a minute, you know, and Irwindale, even for that matter, you know, because they have a noise problem. And, you know, it's, you know, and Irwindale was built where the houses were, but, well, Ascot was for that matter also,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, Mesa Marin was a problem for noise, and but there was, when they built Mesa Marin, there were no houses out there.
Right.
Paris, there were no houses out there, so people, you know, people move in, and there's a racetrack there. They know there's a racetrack there. I mean, it's not, you know, it's kind of like airport noise. You know, when comedian, the guy that did Sledge-O-Matic,
Gallagher.
Gallagher had a little routine where he said, you know, I don't understand all the problems with those houses around LA International. Just sell them to deaf people, you know.
That's a great idea. Well, I've got a track that's figured it out. Barona Speedway. They're way up in the hills. Right. Nobody is going to build a house around Barona Speedway.
Well, it's an Indian reservation, too.
That helps. Yeah. That helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Well, that's one of those things growing up going to Ascot. I thought, you know, this track's going to be here forever. It's built on a dump. There's, like, no one that wants to live around this place because it's, like, toxic wasteland. And then, like, well, this ground's so important or this worth so much value. I'm like, they're going to turn it into something else.
And that Irwindale hangs on by the skin of its teeth. And if it can bounce back from this pandemic, then I'll be surprised, I hate to say.
The funny thing is, you know, race fans, people, I mean, we all, I suppose, like the noise of a race car. But Gilmore Stadium was one of the most iconic places in auto racing history, at least in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And they had huge mufflers. And they was very quiet. And Gilmore Stadium was right in the middle of L.A. there, where Farmers Market is. And, you know, they were able to exist just fine because they were quiet. And the fans came and watched the races, even though the cars were quiet.
Mm-hmm.
My father said the first time they ran those mufflers, all the drivers brought their cars in because they'd never heard that engine noise. They thought was wrong.
What's wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong with that engine?
Get under there, figure it out.
You got a question.
Well, I was just wondering what the rest of the season looks for you. You going to race some more?
Yeah, or was this a one-off?
Sure. No. I drive for Ray. Ray Swan is the owner of the senior sprint that I drive, and he's 85. You know, feels this car. I think it keeps him alive.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, we plan to run Ventura's senior events, and if and when Jim's able to open back up, and of course, you know, at this point we'll run the Paris. You know, admittedly, for me, Ventura is more comfortable for me to run at my age because it's a little bullring, you know, you're going a lot faster at Paris, and so that was one reason that I was extremely happy that I was able to pull off that win. I've won some races out there, USAC midget races at Paris, but that was back when I really raced and wasn't, you know, as my ex-wife said, living in fantasy land still. So.
That's why she's your ex-wife, not to worry about that.
I love his honesty.
But no, you know, you're absolutely right. And now, where are you based at? Where do you live?
I live in Orange, which is, you know, again, you know, only 2 miles from Fantasyland.
Yeah, so you're not too bad. Well, the reason I'm saying it, I know this could be a challenge, but I would love to get you down to San Diego some weekend and put you on the TV station that I do.
When he races Barona.
Yeah, because do you race Barona? Would you race Barona?
Are they going to have something dirt, dude?
I don't think we're going to split our divisions up.
I don't think they have anything for the seniors yet.
Yeah, we don't have a URA or VRA or a senior class. It's just going to be, we're running 360 sprints. That's it.
Uh-huh.
So there's not going to be any breakdown.
But I would love to have you come down and put you on TV. I know it sounds more of a challenge, but it's only 3 to 4 minutes. But let me tell you, I've been doing it for 21 years, and every time I put somebody on TV for their sponsors, it goes right through the roof. People just love it. So.
Oh, no, that's right. I mean, that's, you know, one of the things that that kept a lot of stuff alive here in Southern California, you know, back in the 80s and 90s was the Thursday night and Saturday night thunder. Because it made it just, you know, look at all the drivers it put on the map that went to NASCAR out of there.
Yeah.
That could be arranged, I'm sure. You
he
know?
Could trailer well, down I'll... for TV, but he could be a spectator the night before.
Well, if anyone says anything, just show him that big trophy and say, I won.
Yeah.
I won.
Yeah.
And go in the pits and threaten him with it. Say, see this? You better be lucky I'm not coming out tonight.
Well, I'm kind of, you know, even Ventura. Ventura's actually physically probably more demanding than Paris because it's a bull ring and there's not much straightaway to rest on.
Yeah.
But, I was thinking we could lobby the senior drivers for, you know, 10 laps into the race, they have a mandatory yellow just for 5 laps.
I love it. Hey, and by the way, I have to let you know, Brittany, who's on air, she is a school teacher during the day and a dwarf car driver at the tender age of
48. I'm a vet driver.
She's a vet driver.
Sure.
And nobody's more passionate.
Sprint driver, yeah.
She just got power steering. You think she's going to like it?
I would think. I've not, I drove one dwarf car my entire life, and I didn't know if it had power steering. It didn't seem to steer very hard.
I hope to try it out Friday for the first time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That takes some horsepower away, though, power steering.
Yeah, just, I think, is yours electric or is it?
Electric, yeah.
So hers is electric, so maybe not. We'll have to wait.
No, that won't, So I don't know if I trust electric stuff.
Yeah, you and me both. Hey, man, I got to let you.
If the wire comes loose,
used to not having it.
So. All right. Well, hey, I hate to do this, but I got to let you go, but I'll reach out to Scott and I'll get all your contact info and let's set something up because it'll be good for the owner. It'll be good for the sponsors on the car and you'll get a kick being on TV.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
All right, buddy. So, take care and go sit in the jacuzzi, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Racer Radio right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
Bust it.
All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio. Right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
The segment brought to you by Certified Car Clinic, 11370 North Woodside Avenue. Dino in the house. Go down there and check it out. Whatever he works on, he can give you some backup info with his in-house dyno. Certified Car Clinic or CertifiedCarCare.net. All right. It took us a while, but we got Dirt Dude in the house finally to talk about...
Mom, if you're listening.
Well, the moment we met was quite memorable. My mom and I have laughed about it for years.
The moment you met Dirt Dude.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody who's
refresh
been
me on
there
my memory because I'm thinking. Was that when I got your name wrong the whole time?
Oh no! I don't even know if you have.
Or was that at the banquet when I asked you to be part of this whole show?
No, the very, 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 very first day I ever showed up to the track, I must ask you a question, and you knew I was a rookie. And his face dropped because he's all wet division, and I said dwarf car, and his face dropped.
Even farther.
And he took a long look at me, and I think in his head he was like, she's not driving a dwarf car. What's this old lady doing out here?
Yeah, but you didn't have your stripe back then.
But no. But, yeah, I think you were beside yourself the first time we met. But then, thanks to you, that same day, I had qualified for the A-Main. I had no plans on racing it because it was the first time I've ever been out there with other cars. I was like, I'm just going to do the hot laps. That's all.
Just going to get your feet wet.
Yeah, exactly.
Just get your feet wet.
And then it was like, okay, I'll just do, the heat race. And then I was ready to call it quits, and you're like, you qualified.
You're racing.
Dad's like, yes, you are. We did not come all the way out there. So thank you for that encouragement.
That was back with the old two car.
That was with the two car. Anyway, sorry, that was what was going on in my head. What was supposed to
come
out.
How many years ago was that?
2015. We met in early 2015. And so many of us know your voice, your face, because you come out into the pits. So it's good that you're here.
Yeah, and I'm glad I personally am glad that you're in the pits doing the interviews. Because I think it takes a special person to be able to interview people that just
It takes a circus clown to make it look good.
You could say that, but you know as well as I do.
A rodeo clown, I guess. It's not circus. This is rodeo.
You'll interview the winners and the losers. Right?
I just want basically all of our fans to have
an experience. Exactly.
I don't want anyone to be like, oh, man, I just really wasn't feeling like I was, part of that show. I want everyone to be part of our show. Right. Like I said, for me, it's like me and 300 of my friends sitting on the couch watching racing, and we're just going back and forth talking
about like
it.
Kind of like doing radio, huh?
Yeah.
Kind of like doing radio.
It's like doing everything. Like working in my garage, It'd just be like 500 of my friends working in the garage. We're just hanging out.
And that's why it's so important. you know, that we have you in the pits, because I think, and I learned that every big track I've ever been to has always had two announcers. They've always had the announcer, and they've had the pit announcer. And the announcer does the commercials and does the birthdays and does all the normal stuff. But the guy or girl in the pits gets to talk to the people that we want to hear from.
Well, doing it 20 years, it was like both sides of the fence.
Well, because so, you were doing double.
It's just one of those things. But then it's...
And weren't you
more
relaxed?
It's been really personal to me. I mean, it's been like when I do an event, it's like... You know, like I said, it's me and my friends hanging out. It's not like I'm working. It's not like, you know, it's a chore. It's easy for me just to be personable.
Because you're good at it. If you really want to come right down to the nuts and bolts.
I don't know. I mean, that's just the way my style is. Like every announcer between Scott Delosio and
Tom McGrath,
Mickey Dale, Tom McGrath's been in our track. You know, everyone has a different style.
That's right.
They're different approach. They're different. Yeah. You know, maybe their speed or anything like that, or you know, the way that they do their things. Everyone does things, even from Monster Truck to like, you know, doing other stuff that I've announced at. It's totally different.
But the key to being a good announcer is what you, Tom McGrath, Scott Delosio have, and that's the knowledge of the racers. Because if you don't have a knowledge of the racer, if when somebody comes up to you, win or lose, and if you don't know him from Adam, sure, you can get through it. I'm not saying you can't get through it, but you can always add that added flavor. Say they won a race 3 years ago and you were there, you knew it. You can say, well, you know, this was a pretty good win, but you know, that one 3 years ago, boy, you know, was that one, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's come back to bite me a couple times because like.
Well, that's true too. Try doing radio.
Well. Trying to think, 2 years ago, I was doing Del Mar Fair with Monster Trucks, and I made it up to Barona Speedway for one of our nights, and I had a guy that was announcing, Brandon Jacina.
Oh, yeah.
Brandon Jacina is calling the race for me. I went up there, one of my friends, Shane Sexton, had just got his first main event win in a pony stock, and I jumped in front of Brandon. I'm like, don't be pissed off about this, man. I'm going to go out there and interview this kid because I've seen him growing up his whole life.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this interview. Is that okay? I pretty much didn't say.
I don't think it was asked his permission.
I said I got to do this, and he goes, "Dude, that is you know messed up that you're going to cut in front of me." And when I'm working tonight, buddy goes, "I understand the whole deal."
So here's the mic.
Yeah, he's like, "I understand the whole deal. You know, I've been watching this kid from a mini dwarf to a junior sprint." You know, to now he's running a 360 sprint.
Wow.
So he had his first main event win, and I got out there, and I was like, you know, gave him a big hug. I'm like, dude, it's great to see you. This is like, you know, one of my kids just did it.
Exactly. And that's the key to an announcer. And, you know, and I think, you know, Barona would be just making a major mistake if they let that talent go out the door in the history. Because you have a bucket load of fans out there. I am telling you. I mean, and I'm not saying that to blow smoke up your skirt because you don't look good.
What's cool? Because I mean, I did look back on Facebook after our race because my wife would be like, yeah, that's all you did all day was just like, what's everyone posting? What's everyone saying? And you know, I had a lot of friends that were like, you know, we miss you being there. What's going on? Why is Dirt Dude not there? Yeah. Is he retiring? And I haven't officially made anything yet or said anything. But, you know, I hope that Mickey, you know, is going to be the new person there and be like, you know, if his style is different than mine, you get used to his style and you get used to my style, you know, and you still go on.
Roll with the punches.
Scott Delosio told me this when I was talking to him, like, when I first started getting announcing stuff like that. And he's like, you go to a race. The cars are there. There's no announcer. Does it mean you're not going to go back to that racetrack? Yeah, you're going to go back because whether the cars are there or not.
Yeah.
So now imagine if there's an announcer, great announcer, the best announcer in the world, but there's no cars. Mm-hmm. Would you go back to that track again? Because you're just going to listen to the announcer? No, the announcer is part of the show, but not the show. And
well,
I always take that personally. Like, I am not the show. These racers out here are the show.
Well, there was a time when you go to Barona with a very inadequate sound system, and you're basically talking to yourself. Because you can't hear you in the pits. No different than if you want a challenge when they come back with the Burn Institute at Del Mar, you come out there and try to call the races.
I've tried to talk over monster trucks at Del Mar Fair, and I think I did.
You think?
I think I did.
I
was like
too.
Shouting my voice out.
I was hoarse. I mean, my voice was destroyed.
But then when I was out there with the monster trucks, you're like, why are you talking when a monster truck's going? Because, you know, there's that one chance someone might hear it, or... You know, as soon as that motor stops, you want to make not right. turning your mic on and talking about it.
No.
They can throttle the pedal really quick.
If you
get something in between those two throttle shots, you might be able to get something.
And I do the same thing at the Burn Institute. They even came up and said to me, they go, "Why are you talking during the race?" I go, "Because I'm announcing the race."
It's called play-by-play.
It's called play-by-play. And it's because of me. No offense. I don't care what anybody's listening to. I get so into it. I get so excited.
It is my release. So that
it's
basically
mine too.
When Mickey Dale was up there announcing the other night, I was behind him, and I was actually like standing over his shoulder, like talking to him. I don't know if you heard me or not, but I was like, "Yeah, did you see that, man? Oh, man, look at that. Oh, yeah, he messed up that corner big time."
Yeah,
and I was
see?
I'm just doing that no matter what. Yeah. It's one of those things. You just force a habit.
Yeah. Well, you just got to keep at it, you know, and if something changes, you know. You never know what comes down the road. You never know what opportunities that come up. You know, that's the way you got to look at it.
Well, if worse comes worse, I know we're going to gel and we're going to make a great season out of this, and we'll see what happens for next season. And
exactly.
If not, but you know, we'll make something work the whole time.
So when's the next race?
It's coming up.
Next weekend.
Yeah.
360 sprints and lawnmowers are going to be there. I think the schedule's on the website, bronaspeedway.com. Also, the videos that we've been posting. So that's pretty cool. Webby's been doing a great job with that. And then Facebook,
lawnmowers
too.
Are going to be there?
Lawnmowers. It's been a while since we had lawnmowers.
I have a lawnmower in my yard.
Are you going to be there, Dave?
Yes, because I'm getting my truck back Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
And his little go-kart.
I'm going to get my little monkey.
Uh-huh.
And But I'm waiting for my truck to get back. So I've got the truck. I bought a ramp that you can drive up.
What happened to the van? I thought you were going to be
doing... No, that's what I got, but I had it at the shop.
What are you talking about?
Had to put axle seals in it. The rear brakes were wet with brake fluid.
Do you have any dogs due? Any puppies going to be born?
Why?
Because that's why
he's going to
have...
No, we're good. We're absolutely good.
Not
the
holding
Roddy,
my breath. I'll be Roddy. Happy if he shows up, but no. I'm not holding
I may
my
even
breath.
Come, I may come up Friday just to see you with your power steering.
Yeah,
we
got to
take
crossed.
A break. And by the way, I really, really, really can't thank... where was it? I already had that. I already pulled it off. I need to
your new
back.
Sponsor? Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, my new sponsor. Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about, you know, buying a liquor store, too.
I know, and I want to upgrade to the 21st
I'm in the market for
century.
A liquor store.
I think you said 20.
Southwest Point of Sale, folks. Check these guys out if you have a small business. They're from National Cash Register, and they can give you every tip known to man on how to be a more efficient shop right here.
It's like a life coach.
You got it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. Gun Owners Radio coming up next, right here on FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The answer. It's all right.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.